Hi, and welcome to Is This Thing On podcast number 46. Sorry, you caught me mid-stretch there. A very sober but a slightly hungover me today. I've got loads of stuff for you. I've got Salma Distrum, an interview with. I've also got Paul Lane from Unplug the Jukebox. He's going to got a new feature where he's actually going to review albums. Who'd have thought? Loads of music. Not as much as usual because I've packed a lot in. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to kick off with a biggie. This is a great tune by a band called the Bang Bangs. It's In Arms. Let's jump around.
For tears, you say that you hate me. Cause tomorrow, you know I still love me. Put your fingers between the hinges. A star slam louder than hell.
Podcast.
That was brilliant. That was the Bang Bangs and a track called In Arms. They sent that to me earlier on this year, and I'm sorry, guys. It just slipped through it, and I sort of noticed it today and thought, what the hell's that? Played it and thought, oh, this is brilliant. This is what we need. This is what we need with a hangover. Oh yes. Now earlier on this week, I did a couple of interviews. One of them was with a great band called Sand River, a couple of guys from the Northeast. And I'll be playing that interview next week. But to whet your appetite, here's a track that I was listening to as I was waiting to interview them, because I did it on Skype. And it's called Kid Dust and the Black Hearts. This is brilliant. Sit down. It's about 8 minutes long, but it's fantastic. Let's have a listen to this.
Hi, we're Sand River, two-man band from Durham in the north of England. I'm Guy, and I play drums and percussion.
And I'm Sai, I play guitar and sing. We've been playing together since 2008, and we released our first self-titled EP at the beginning of 2010.
If you want to hear more from us, you can listen to and buy the whole EP at sandriver.bandcamp.com.
Thanks very much to Nick for featuring us on his podcast. Enjoy!
Thank you. your pit, the pendulum's swinging like a metronome, and it's slowly lowering as I keep on hunting you down. You crossed an old friend and you made a new enemy, and all your secrets, what's lost will be found. You'll put the pendulums close to your chest, it will cut out your heart, and I'll bury it deep underground.
Merhaba, benim adım Selen. Şu anda Nick Tan'in Is This Thing On podcast'ını dinliyorsunuz.
That was Selen, who's the manager of the White Swan in Winchester, who has recorded some, recorded that for me. There's a couple of other ones she's recorded as well. So hang on to the end of the show and you'll get to hear them and a few other bits and pieces that I've recorded this week. That was Sand River and Kid Dust and the Block Black Hearts. And I interviewed them earlier in the week and I should be playing that interview next week. In the meantime, These Fine Galleons and Freezing in Frezin are reviewed by Paul Lane from Unplug the Jukebox. Now, in the interview, I mentioned that Freezing in Frezin, I'll be playing a track underneath their review. I forgot to remind Paul, and Paul just forgot, and we didn't get the track. But if Freezing in Frezin listen, then send me a track and I'll play it next week, or whenever I get the track. And anyway, let's just do this. This is me talking to Paul Lane. Right, and now I'm with Paul Lane. Now, Paul, we had a bit of a talk, didn't we? Well, kind of a text.
Yeah, text chat.
A text chat, because I got to thinking when I was on holiday in the Norfolk Broads, which was lovely. Does Hank in Texas, who sits and listens to this in his pants, sweating flight.
That's a nice thought.
Eating nachos.
Yeah.
Scratching himself. Does he really care who's playing in Hampshire? And I thought to myself, he probably doesn't. He probably goes out and gets himself another beer.
Yeah.
And waits.
During that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, worthy though it was, is it international enough? And I thought, no. And it's something that we'd kind of talked about a little bit before, isn't it?
Yeah.
And said, so, well, is this... And I thought, well, let's try it. And with the feedback we got, which was obviously nothing, because we very rarely get feedback. I'm still yet to receive an email from a subscriber or a listener. I get little bits and pieces from Twitter and from Facebook. But no one said yay, no one said nay. But I thought, well, maybe we should do something else. And I thought to myself, well, what can we do? And I thought, well, what does Paul do? I thought, well, he does this blog where he reviews albums. And then I had this amazing thought, and I thought, hey, why doesn't Paul come in and review some albums? And there was a moment, and I texted you while I was actually still in Norfolk.
Yeah.
With this thought, and you went,
oh, I said, I'm bang up for that.
You did.
I'm bang up for that.
And
yeah.
Why didn't we think of it? Why didn't we think of it before?
It kind of makes sense. It sort of slaps you in the face. It's
it does.
Bloody obvious, but there we are.
So I think what we can do is we can actually call this Unplug the Jukebox, this section.
How about that? I like the sound of that, yeah.
Which relates to your...
It's called Unplug the Jukebox. So that name obviously didn't take too much thinking of Nick, really, did it?
It's actually written on your notes as well.
Indeed.
Which comes from your unplugthejukebox.wordpress.com.
That's the one, yes, yeah. We've only been going for a couple of weeks.
I'm just going to move this mic a little bit. A bit closer to you now, that's
okay.
Fine. Carry on.
Cool, yeah. It's been going for a couple of weeks, but ticking along nicely. People seem to like it, so yeah. So... unplugthejukebox.wordpress.com.
Fantastic. So. And so today we're going to talk about, or you're going to talk about, two albums and
two EPs.
Two EPs.
Yeah.
I was talking on another media commitment of mine about EPs. Why do people make EPs as opposed to?
I think they're a good thing because people go and see new bands, you know, independent bands, unsigned bands, what have you. They'll come away and think, wow, they were bloody good. I want more than some of theirs. Now, what's the point in giving them one track on a CD? You know, that's not enough. But at the same time, will people really be willing to take away 12 tracks when they've just seen a band play for half an hour? Mm. Oh, that might be a bit much. An EP, I think, is a perfect taster. It really is. You know, you get, you know, 3 to 5 tracks on an EP. It gives you a nice taste of what that band's about. And it'll either whet your appetite for more, or it'll put you off for life.
Brilliant.
So, you know, I think it's. I think they've still got their place. You know, you talk to people that, you know, perhaps don't follow independent music as closely as the likes of you and I, and you say, oh yeah, they've just brought out a great. You're talking about a band, and you say they've just brought out a great EP. EP? Do people still do EPs? Well, yes, they do, and they've still very, very much got their place, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and also I think because a lot of bands are self-financing.
Yeah,
makes sense money-wise.
Yeah, well, they can't afford to, you know, lay about in the studio for months on end to record a, you know, double album or whatever. You know, they've got enough money to go in and record 3 or 4 tracks and take it from there. So,
brilliant.
You know.
So you're going to review an EP for us? Well, two, actually.
Yeah, well, a couple. Now the first one is an EP that was sent to me as a band. Both bands are from down here in the south of England. The first one's from Southampton. They're a duo called Freezing in Frezin. Now, they sent me their EP and asked for it to be reviewed. It was a little bit apologetic, the covering letter that was with it, saying, oh, yeah, well, we've did it on a budget and it's, you know, you could probably tell. Well, I don't care. I don't care if it costs 5p. I don't care if it costs you all your pocket money or whatever. I don't care. It's what's on the CD that matters. And I listened to it and I was absolutely taken away. It was fantastic. It's their debut EP. They're a duo. And it's the first song. It's a 3-track EP. The first song's called If You're a Bird, I'm a Bird. And I'm not joking, Nick. I played it about 5 times in a row when I first listened to it. It's real nice acoustic, sort of nice gentle keyboards in the background, real sort of vulnerable kind of vocals, very sort of blissful, dreamy feel to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Really nice melodies. There's like kind of like a claustrophobic almost sort of intimacy to it. And it's just really, really, I don't know, lovely. How's that for a word? You know, it's just really nice and it. Yeah, hairs on the back of the neck stuff, you know.
Fantastic. I love it when tracks do that.
Yeah, it's kind of crosses that line of melancholy, but also it's quite uplifting as well. You know, it kind of grabs you on both, you know.
Balls.
It grabs you by the balls, yeah, in a different way. It tickles your balls.
Yeah.
You know.
I felt a bit like that with Wax's Ats when I played that in the Sissy.
Yeah, yeah.
Electric City a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I sat and listened to that for a while. What we'll do in the future, as we've only just sort of started doing these, is have a little bit like I get from APOC, or I do with APOC, is have the track running underneath. But unfortunately this week, because the CD player in my computer isn't working and will cost an arm and a leg to do, to replace, then... All right, my wife's just come in and put me off completely now. Hello, I'm just recording something. See you in a bit. Where was I? CD player. That's right. So it would cost me no one leg to replace it. So unfortunately, Paul didn't know this, and so we have the CDs, but we can't actually take the tracks off them. So what he's going to do, he's going to bring tracks round in future. So it would be really nice to actually put Freezing and Frizzing playing underneath us in a professional podcasty radio kind of way.
Indeed.
But we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So, but what I will
professionalism's for wimps.
I know. But what I will do is I will put a link on the website, isthisthingonpodcast.wordpress.com, to their site where you can buy their EP. I hope you can buy it. I hope they're not, are they giving it away?
They are, actually, I mean, it's a free download. Free download on Bandcamp. Freezinginfrezin.bandcamp.com.
Well, regular listeners to the podcast will realise that I've recently changed my views on Bandcamp and think that everything should be paid for. Everything, even a download. The argument was that, well, you know, we want people to listen to our music. Well, you can listen for free, but to possess it, to actually have it, that you can put on your iPod, you can burn a bloody CD of it and play it in your car, I think that people should charge. Just a pound. Just a pound. If people, and I know if people do go for free downloads, you can put money, you can actually put money and override it and just go, no, I'll pay a pound or whatever. But I still think that artists should value their music and actually bite the bullet and charge for it. Anyway.
Well, these three tracks will be well worth the money, whatever these lads decide to charge. The second track, my favourite, Clementine, is a bit more uplifting than the previous track. But it's still that kind of understated melodies about it. It's just lovely. It's just a real nice listen, and it's not nice in the fact that you could just put it on at a dinner party in the background or whatever, but it's got real good melodies and it's real kind of vulnerability about it. It's really appealing in that way. I like them. I've stumbled across a band here that I'm definitely going to be following closely, and you know, they're a good band. They're good. I believe they're friends with the guys from Doyle and the Forefathers.
Yeah,
we've played a lot. Wow, they're just amazing. So, yeah, they're good lads. They're a good, you know, it's a good debut and well worth checking out. So, yeah, it's on Bandcamp, freezinginfrezin.bandcamp.com, and they're also on MySpace, myspace.com/freezinginfrezin. So go and check them out because they're fantastic.
Fantastic. Well, two fantastics there, just to show how good it is. And also, I'll put links on the website. Is this thing on podcast.wordpress.com? So the next band we have,
band from Portsmouth called These Fine Galleons. Now they were called formerly Sunset Mission, and I stumbled across them towards the tail end of last year. I saw them play live in March of this year. Very, very impressed. Had a good chat with James, the singer. Lovely lad. Very, very upbeat. Right into his music. Very driven. They changed their name to These Fine Galleons for one reason or another. They've had relatively high profile support slots with bands like Clear Lake and The Vortex. Now they've got their new three-track EP, well, it's a debut three-track EP, which is self-titled. And it's great. I really like it. It's nice. You know, the first track is called It's Only Life. It's a real, it kicks in with sort of nice echoey guitars and it sort of bubbles away a little bit, and then just the chorus just kicks in, and it's really, it's quite a rush when it gets to that chorus. It's a nice sort of, you know, builds you up nicely, a little bit of a tease in the verse, and then it goes bang, and then yeah, good stuff. I like the second track. The second track's my favourite track out of the three, a track called The Entity, which is a bit darker than the first track. It's kind of, it made me think of a slightly poppier version of Queens of the Stone Age, actually.
All right. Whatever happened to them?
Well, they're still going.
Are they?
But Josh Homme's kind of—he produced the last Arctic Monkeys album.
Did he?
So he's kind of messing about doing bits and pieces, you know. But yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. It's quite darker, like I said, than the first track. But yeah, plenty of guitars in there, and it gets you going. Bit of an adrenaline rush. It's good stuff. The final track, Lost Passenger, is again, there's some punk influences in there. There's no messing about, you know, it's quite a nice urgent sound to it. They're a good band. I like them. They're one, definitely one to watch. The EP itself will be available. It is available on Bandcamp, thesefinegallions.bandcamp.com. However, the lads have said they're bringing it out on CD. If you drop them an email, you will then be reserving a copy of the CD and then we'll send it out to you. So it will be limited to around about sort of 30 or 50 copies, around about that sort of number. But drop them an email, because you won't regret it. It's at thesefinegallions@hotmail.co.uk. And get your hands on a CD, because it'd be well worth it.
Okay, cool. So you can download it from Bandcamp already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have to email them.
Yeah, if you'd like on CD, to get a limited edition CD.
Oh, okay.
With artwork, looking nice.
They can set that up on Bandcamp as well. They probably don't know that. Well, anyway, Paul, thanks very much.
Absolute pleasure as always, Nick.
All right, mate. Fantastic. Cheers.
Bye-bye. But this was your dream.
Fantastic. That's the These Fine Galleons and a song called Entity. And like I said at the beginning, if I get a track from Freezing and Frezen, I shall play it soon. It sounds very interesting, actually, doesn't it? I haven't heard them yet, but Paul's a good judge of music. So if he says it's worth listening to, then you can bet your boots it is. Right, I think it's time for a fantastic Japanese track. This is Suisei Nobos and Poolside Murder Mystery. We're going to jump around again.
にちは、ニクさん。私はロンリーと言います。ニクさんの It's Easy On Podcast の日本のリスナーです。
And thank you, Ronnie. Now, that was a brilliant track. And if you want to find out about Susei Nobaz, you need to go to MySpace and Susei Nobaz. Now, how do you spell it? Well, here we go. It's SuiseiNobaz. So if you go to MySpace and Susei Nobaz, you'll find out all about them. And that's a wicked track. Now, earlier on this week, the last couple of weeks, really, I've been getting some artists together, finding some new artists for the Pure Acoustica thing that I run, which is events around Hampshire that I run in various music venues, of finding independent acoustic artists. Well, not necessarily acoustic artists, but independent artists. And basically, we just keep it nice and simple. We go and play in pubs, and we use no mics, no amps, and no PAs. So it is acoustic, but it's not like just acoustic artists, if you like. I'm making a really good job of this, aren't I? So anyway, I get approached by people and get sent emails and tracks by people. And this one girl that I'm going to play next is called Sophie Peacock. And she was suggested... Well, actually, I saw a video that she'd put up on MySpace that a friend of mine, Lewis McLean, had commented on, and also said, well, you should get in touch with Nick to see if we can do Pure Acoustica. And so we emailed back and forth for a bit. And I said, look, could you send me a track just so I can get an idea of what you sound like? And she sent me this track, and it's something that I want to do more of, actually. I want some nice rough tracks from people, because there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time and a lot of money going into studios and recording stuff and going, oh, I must do this, don't release that because it's all rough as guts and everything. But listen to this track. I don't want to say it's rough as guts. It's not the best recorded track in the world, but you can hear that this girl, Sophie Peacock, she can sing, man. She can sing. She's got a great song here. Anyway, look, I'll let her do the talking. She's got some pipes, this girl, though. Give this a listen. This is Sophie Peacock and a track called Fighting Fair. This is brilliant. You will never have heard this track ever before. It's fantastic. I promise you. Thank you. brilliant that was. Fucking brilliant. She's got no MySpace. She's got no tracks for sale. She's got nothing. That's all we've got so far. And I'm trying to persuade her to play a Pure Acoustica in Winchester. So look out for her, that name, Sophie Peacock. And when we do something at when I can persuade her to come and play at the White Swan in Pure Acoustica, and we stream that out live on the internet, make sure you're there because that will be an event. I'll tell you, that'll be an event. Right, now, earlier on this week, I did a fantastic interview. Though I say it wasn't that fantastic. It was, well, Samway was good. I did an interview with Samway Dahlstrom, and I've played her tracks before. And what she does, she doesn't, well, she does sell CDs and stuff, but where she makes most of her money is by licensing music. And if you don't know what that means, licensing music is basically making your music available to be put on a TV program or a film, things like that. So when you hear music on a TV commercial, on a TV program or a film, it's been licensed. Someone's got it, the person that made the music gets some money from it, etc., etc., etc. She's the what I call I think I call her the indie princess in this, because she really is. She's fantastic on self-promotion. She does it all herself, everything herself. She's got videos, etc. She's got albums. She's got websites, and she's funded it all herself from the money she's made from licensing. So if you're a musician and you're a composer and you want to find out how to make money from your music by licensing it, this interview will tell you how to do it. Well, this interview will tell you how Selma did it. You might not like the answer, but this is how it's done. Anyway, I did this interview with Selma on last week. I think it was Friday. Yeah, Friday lunchtime on Skype. So the signal drops a little bit every now and then because she's in New York and I'm down here in, down here in Eastleigh. So I'll let it roll.
Okay, and all the way from New York, well, it's not very far for you because you're there, but I'm down in Southampton, is Selma Dahlstrom, and I think I pronounced your name wrong forever.
Selma Dahlstrom.
Selma Dahlstrom. See, I've done it literally, haven't I? Dahlstrom. I've done it, you know. Never mind. Can you say it again?
It's okay. You British still rule the world, and a Swedish name is just the Swedish name.
Okay. I struggle. I play a few Icelandic bands, and they're just terrible. Terrible. So, are you well?
I am fabulous. Thank you for asking.
And you've just come back from
Costa Rica.
Very nice. And what were you doing down there?
I'm trying to learn to surf.
How are you finding it?
It's really difficult. There's not one wave that's, you know, consistent and like the other. So you really have to be on top of your game, and it's hard. But I'm getting there.
Yeah, it's tricky. I was teaching myself last year. I do bodyboarding. And what I did is I went to a beach with hardly any surf on it. And that's better because you can sort of practice all the bits and fall off without looking too much of a dick, and it's okay. Anyway, enough of surfing. I've got things here to ask you.
Okay.
And I think I'll ignore those because they look a little bit silly now. You are kind of the princess of indie, from what I see from my extensive research on the web. Would that be a truish thing to say?
I think that's a very nice thing of you to say, and let's pretend it's true.
Okay, that's good. It seems to be that you're one of the people that some of the people that subscribe, not subscribe so much because they listen to it, but a lot of the artists kind of aspire to what you've done, and you've kind of almost got the golden chalice. You're doing your own stuff. It's a lot of hard work, you know. I don't have to tell you, it's a lot of hard work to promote yourself. You've always got to be there, every little minutiae of your life, you're sort of putting up on Twitter or everything else. But you seem to be making money out of it. Now, is that a vulgar thing to say?
No, I think maybe to some people, but, you know, I kind of like it. And, you know, it is in some way, you know, I guess proof that what you're doing works on some level.
Excellent, because I mean, I did read an interview that you were saying that it would be quite nice to get a nice little deal somewhere. What reason would that be?
You know, for when I put out my own stuff, I do my own promotion on it, and there's only so much my budget allows. So, I guess my comment was more along the lines of, you know, if there was a record label that got me, you know, and was willing to put, you know, a big chunk of money behind promoting me, that wouldn't necessarily be bad. You know, but all the stars have to align, and, you know, it would have to be somebody who, you know, buys into what I'm doing and who wants to, you know, push it in the same direction I'm pushing it, just a little faster.
So, that's absolutely right, because it is hard work. It is a bit of a, it's a slog, isn't it? It's a long, hard slog, sitting there, hour after hour, tapping, trying to find other bits and pieces, going for little, often, but you're just going for little scraps. But I'll get back to that in a moment. How did you actually start off doing this kind of thing?
Music or licensing?
Well, music. We'll get into licensing later, but just music generally. Well, I know a little bit about your background of college and all that sort of stuff, and that's kind of okay. But like maybe your first band and when you first started to write.
Well, I picked up a guitar when I was, I think, 12 or something like that, and that's when I really started writing songs, because I loved a lot of the 80s rock. And I wanted to be John Bon Jovi and Paul Stanley, and later on Cher.
Did you want to be Cher in her 50s, or did you want to be Cher in her 20s?
No, well, I wanted to be Cher in her 50s.
Wow.
Because that was what was on the radio at the time, and I liked that. And then later on, when I became a big fan of hers, I went back and I actually listened to all her records, and I still have them. And that's pretty much how I learned about 50s and 60s, not 50s, but 60s and 70s music, through Cher records.
Mm. You
know? I aspired to be the 50-year-old Cher. And I started writing songs, and I put a band together and all of that, and did that whole thing for quite a while. And as electronic music came along, I found it to be really intriguing. I loved it. And I loved the actually making that. So I got into computers and synthesizers and all of that, and became a total studio geek, going, what does this button do? Let me tweak it a little bit. So, you know, don't let the image fool you.
Excellent. No, that's cool. And so there was a time when you thought, hang on a minute, I can make some money out of this. Was there an actual point where you thought, hey, you know what, maybe I don't have to work at McDonald's anymore?
Well, I never worked at McDonald's, though both Madonna and I worked at Dunkin' Donuts at some point.
Wow.
I know.
Did you
not
see
at the same time?
Oh, not the same time, of course not.
No, and not in the same Dunkin' Donuts. But no, I mean, I think I had, you know, grand dreams, as everybody does. Oh, you know, I'm going to be in this rock band, I'm going to make $1 million. And, you know, you're in your second and third and fourth and fifth rock band, and it still isn't happening, and you realize, okay, it's tough. And at some point, you know, I mean, I still think I can make $1 million. I'm not that far from it, actually.
Mm.
But, you know, I also realized that I really love the craft of it, you know, but it wasn't until actually I started getting into music licensing which I didn't even know what it was at the time, that I, you know, I realized, okay, there's actually a job here. There's actually, this is one avenue to add to the making records and playing out and t-shirts and whatever you're doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Because you're all over the social network as well. I mean, obviously the MySpace, which I hate. Everyone knows I hate MySpace. But Facebook, and then Twitter came along and basically saved our lives. Twitter came along and saved us all.
Well, it also gave everyone a, you know, an insight into when we go to the bathroom, which is a little weird to me still.
Yeah. But I mean, I filter that sort of stuff out now.
I guess. I love Twitter though. It's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. So of all the social network stuff that you do, which do you think is the most successful for you?
It's hard to say. I think in this day and age, you just have to be present. If you're, you know, promoting whatever you're promoting, you have to be present in all of them.
Mm.
Because people are, you know, I mean, that whatever's popular keeps changing, I think, you know. Give mm-hmm. it to, MySpace used to be huge, and I think now it's Facebook and Twitter, and who knows what's going to be tomorrow. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're promoting yourself as an artist and your music, you just got to be all over them.
Mm. So for the people that haven't heard you on the podcast, they should have done, because I've played you enough times. Can you just give a little brief description of what you do?
I make electronic dance music that's, you know, a little cherry-flavored poppy stuff with tons of hooks in them.
So you did, you actually design? Yeah, I mean that's exactly what you do. I'd say it's a little bit more. I'd say it's a little bit deeper than that, actually. I do think you do. You do design stuff. I mean, your music is almost designed. Now you're licensing music. Are you thinking to yourself, right now, what I need is a hook here? And are you actually designing your music as well as kind of writing it?
Yes and no. I mean, it's rare that I pick up a guitar today and write a full song on a guitar for myself. You know, if I wanted to write a rock song or something, that's how I would go about it. But since the music I make is computer-based, nowadays it usually starts with something in the computer, you know, some sort of a rough track. And then I might have an idea of what I want to do song-wise, but I usually start doing something on the computer with it. So it becomes kind of a thing that, you know, happens at the same time, like that. And I, you know, when I made my first record, I didn't even know what music licensing was. I just did what I liked, you know, and hoped that other people would like it too. You know, I just think that I really love hooks, yeah. You know, and so I want to put them in my songs.
Cool. So you kind of have the song, and is it kind of an automatic thing now, or do you go back and listen to it and go, it needs something there, it needs something there, or does it just come naturally to you now?
You know, I think as an artist, you're always critical of your own work much more than everybody else's, and so I, first of all, rarely listen to my stuff once it's finished. And when I do, yeah, I always find stuff. I go like, oh, I should have done that differently, or I didn't tweak that enough, or, you know, I should have sung that line better.
Hmm.
But, you know, you just got to leave it at some point.
There is a time when you have to go, no, let's go home.
Yeah.
That's definitely. It. Let's go on to the next bit. What do you think about, what's your opinion about musicians? Because there's a lot of talk about giving things away with things like Bandcamp and with other websites where you can have a track on for people to listen to and then a track for people to download for nothing. I mean, I used to be of that frame of mind that, yeah. What you got to do is you got to make your music available to download so people can download it and have it and listen to it, etc. And if you charge for it, that might put them off and so they won't listen to it. They won't. Well, they will still listen to it, but they won't actually download it.
You know, sometimes it's good to give something away, I think, you know, to get people into it. But, you know, it has to lead somewhere. I don't believe in just giving it away for free. And, you know, even though they say that, and we know that sales are down, I mean, record companies are hurting and all of that, there's still a lot of songs being, you know, bought off of iTunes and all of that. And so, you know, bottom line is I don't think you should give it all away for free. You know?
There's still plenty of bling around. There's still plenty of bling around. They're still throwing it about.
Absolutely, and I need the bling. So yeah. On the bling.
Let's bring it on. All right, so and now let's talk about music licensing. Can you tell me what music licensing is?
Music licensing is when you watch a movie and you hear music in that movie, or you watch a commercial and there's a kick-ass song in that commercial. Somebody put it there, and to put it there, you got to license it from whoever owns it, and that is music licensing.
Brilliant. And so how do you go about that? I mean, I've got truckloads of tracks and I want to license them. I want to license them because some of them I want to put in films and basically I want to make some money. So how do I go about licensing?
You get a really kick-ass agent who loves what you do and who knows where to place it.
Hey, that's easy. Why haven't I done this? What am I doing wasting my time here?
Yeah, get on it, Nick.
I could be going down to Costa Rica. I could be surfing now.
Exactly.
So basically,
you can license from Costa Rica, so.
Oh, fantastic. That's what I should be doing.
Yep.
So you found an agent?
Yeah, the agent found me.
Did it? Oh, fantastic.
About 5 years ago, I got a call from this guy, an agent, who said, I'm a music licensing agent. And I said, okay, great. I have no idea what you do. Because up until then, what I knew about music licensing was that megastars did it. You know, Madonna did Pepsi and whatnot. And that was, you know, I figured that's a little bit out of my league right now. So I had no idea that there even existed anything for indie artists. And I guess about 5 years ago is when that started happening more and more. And, you know, now we know it's a huge business. But this agent called me up and he said, yeah, I really like your music and I think it's perfect for commercials and TV and, you know, let's make some money. And I said, okay, this sounds fantastic.
Oh, what is it? Money? Whoa, yeah. Hang on a minute.
Take it. And then nothing happened for about a year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started getting some placements for me. The first placement I got was a commercial, a Dove commercial, actually.
A Dove commercial?
Dove, yeah. If Dove, you know.
Oh,
shampoo.
Soap. Yeah.
I got a soap commercial, okay?
I know. You know. What did Moby get? Moby got something, didn't he? That's one of the ways that he started, I think, years ago.
He got everything.
Yeah.
You know, they probably sold everything from cars to ladies' lingerie with Moby. But I'm not far behind.
Yeah?
I did some German stockings.
Really?
Yep.
But what song was the German stockings?
Come on, y'all.
Was it? I thought so.
Yeah. I mean, that song has sold everything from cars to chocolate to, you know.
Yeah, that song's got so many dynamics in it. You can take, the thing about that song, and I think is about a lot of your stuff, that you've thought to yourself, I can sell this somewhere, is that you can take maybe 15 seconds of a 15 second chunk of any part of that song and go, we'll have that there, we'll have the big, we can have the verse here, that first 30 seconds, that'll fit that, and then another 30 seconds from somewhere else, that'll go to another commercial, or go for this and go for that. So I think that's one of the things, one of the strengths of your stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right about that. But I think to answer something that you mentioned earlier is I when I wrote these songs and when I produced them, I did not think like that. I didn't, you know, really even know what, you know, music licensing was, like I said, or how it works. Now that I've done a bunch of commercials, that you kind of get an idea on, okay, it needs to start off with something that can build, and then, you know, two-thirds through it, there needs to be a different section, you know, and people can say, oh, that's very calculated, but yes and no. Also, a song, you put a song together, a 3-4 minute song, it has to have those dynamics too to be interesting to listen to. So if you do it right, then, you know, maybe it'll work for commercials too.
Absolutely. I mean, at the moment, that's where most of your success lies. So obviously you're thinking, well, that's what I'll do. There's no point in you saying, well, actually, I want to do an acoustic album next. So, well, that's all very well, but who's gonna pay for that?
Yeah, who knows? Well, I think somebody else got the acoustic, you know, section covered of the music licensing as well. And I think the best thing I can do is just do what I want to do and what I like. You know, if I started to say, oh, I want to cover the hip-hop part of it as well, you know, I don't think that would work because my heart's not in it.
No, that's right. I mean, you can tell it by what you've done so far, and especially your latest video. I was looking at your video the other day. Is it Superstar Crash?
Right.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a skate theme in there as well, isn't there?
Yeah. I, you know, I had this idea that it'd be cool to have Elvis skateboarding.
Mm. So who pays for that video?
Who paid for it?
Yeah.
I paid for it.
Fantastic. See, that's why we love you, Sarah. That's why we love you, because I fucking paid for it. I paid for that video. And I bet you were there every day going, come on, who are these people? What are you doing? What are you doing over there?
Wow, you sound exactly like you were there.
So just remember, that's my fucking donut you're eating. I paid for that.
Exactly. Well, you know, even when you have a big record label backing you, it's really you paying for it, so.
Of course, and that's what a lot of bands don't realize. They say, oh yeah, here's 200,000, go and record an album. And then a few months later they go, hey, you know that 200,000 we gave you? Yeah, we want it back.
Yeah. But there's a really cool book I read while I was in Costa Rica. It's called So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star?
Mm-hmm.
And it's written by the drummer in a band called Semisonic.
Uh-huh.
Who were part of this whole like early 90s grunge thing, but they were on the lighter side of it. And it's this guy's just like story of what happened to the band. And he's like brutally honest about like, okay, and then, you know, this A&R guy said this, and how the whole industry and how the record label worked their record or did not, and all the stupid stuff that goes on, you know. And of course, the whole thing like, oh, I love this buffet. Well, I'm paying for it, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, but I mean, the video that you made that you paid for, even if you were the label, you, like you said, you'd still pay for it.
Yeah.
Cool. So are you working to a plan at the moment?
Well, my plan is to rule the world.
Uh-huh.
Through music.
Fantastic. How far through that plan are you?
Well, there are some stages in it, and the stage I'm in now is I'm recording my next album.
Uh-huh.
Which is a little more dancey. Mm-hmm. It's a little more dance floor. It's a couple of steps closer to the dance floor, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also, just for the fun of it, making a little breakbeat EP on the side, because I got a bunch of those ideas and, you know, it doesn't really fit on the record, so kind of doing that as well.
Cool. And so just to reiterate, this is your job now.
Yes.
This is what you do.
This is what I do.
This is what it says. What does it say on your passport?
Well, we don't say our, you know, we don't list our profession.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But on the little, you know, whatever it is that you have to, you know, immigration slip,
yeah, yeah.
I put music producer on my humble days. And then when I myself, I put rock star.
I own your ass. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, look, Sam, it's been brilliant talking to you. And hopefully we can do it again, because I know you're off to Sweden. Is it tomorrow?
Tonight, in a couple of hours.
Oh, fantastic. Well, hopefully I'm going to talk to you again and see how far along the world domination you are.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, Nick.
Oh, it's fantastic. Thanks very much, Sam, mate.
Take care.
Bye.
Come on, y'all.
Are you well? Are you well? What? Oh, dear. Well, mate, I think it got a little bit better as we went along. But one day I'll try and stop sounding so much of a dick when I interview people. But Soundway, what a lovely, lovely lady. Go to, just find her on the web somewhere if you want to find out more about her stuff. She's got loads of stuff on there. But go and check her out, see what she does. She does lots of really good tracks, lots of really nice videos, which of course she funds herself. And if you want to spell her name, I will. Or if you want me to spell her name, I will. It's S-A-L-M-E, that's Salmi, and it's Dahlstrom, and it's D-A-L-H-I-S-T-R-O-M. You can see where I got that wrong there, Dahlstrom, you know, I did it literally. Anyway, Salmi Dahlstrom. I think it's about time we chilled out now. This is Coloured Lines and Between the Lines.
If you didn't know, the website for the podcast has moved to isthisthingonpodcast.wordpress.com. That's isthisthingonpodcast.wordpress.com. So get along there now to find out all about the bands that Nick has played on the podcast. Go on, go now, or I'll have your fucking legs.
Absolutely right. And if you want to find out about Coloured Lines you've just listened to, if you go along to the blog and you'll find links to it, because I always do that, don't I? I always put links to band stuff. Well, that's about it for this week. I've got one track of mine to play, which I wanted to play because it's one of my most produced tracks. And I thought, well, with the Soundwave thing and people listening to that, they might want to license my music, mightn't they? Why not license good old Nick's music? That could go in a TV program. What do you reckon? House? Or, I don't know, some dreadful thing that we've seen. Oh, not dreadful. Don't say dreadful. No, some fantastic quality program. So I'll be playing that in a moment. And also, I'll put a few little bits at the end. So carry on listening. I've done a few little bits. You might have noticed a few little stings and idents that I've recorded over the last couple of weeks. And I've put some of those in. From Ronnie in Japan and from Selene. Well, she's from Turkey originally, but obviously she's in Winchester now, and I'll put a few of those on. So, a packed show, I'm sure you'll agree, and a little very informative. We had lots of bits and pieces. We had Paul Lane coming in talking about Freezing and Frizen, Frizened and Frozen, and who else was he talking about? These Mighty Galleons or something, or wasn't it? Something to do with galleons, all from the South Coast, which is all very jolly. And some nice music we had, some Japanese music from Sushi Nobaz, Sophie Peacock. Now, what a voice, eh? What a voice that was. Sand River, I love that track. And the Bang Bangs, it started off the top of the show. I like that track as well. So a little bit of jumping around, a little bit of sitting around, hanging around, waiting for things to happen. And that's about it. So this track now you're listening to is actually the track that's made me the most money ever, this track. It's probably my most commercial track I've recorded. I did it a couple of years ago. And have a listen to this. If you want to go and buy it, go and buy it. Guys, go and buy it. Make Nicky a little bit of money, eh? Make Nicky a little bit of money. Anyway, listen to this, and I will talk to you all next week. Don't forget, hang on to the end of the show after this track, because I'm going to put a few other little bits and pieces in there. And I will speak to you soon. Bye!
In the mirror, what do I see? Look through the window, staring back at me. It's 2 a.m, I'm feeling so free. 24 hours, what a place to be. Well, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Well, how can it be wrong in the day or night? Well, how can it be wrong when it feels alright? How can it be wrong? You're coming to meet me underneath the stars this time together. Hours and hours and hours, say that it's over. Never meet again, you gotta remember. Still my special friend. Well, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? How can it be wrong in the day or night? Well, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Well, how can it be wrong? Still can't believe it, it's a mystery, it just kind of happened, being you and me. Who would have thought it? But it's plain to see I'm loving the good times, the rest is history. Well, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? How can it be wrong in the day or night? Well, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? wrong? Well, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? How can it be wrong in the day or night? Well, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Well, how can it be wrong, wrong?
It just ain't right that you never met so many people and a love affair. So many years and he's no show. Time to tell him how to pack his things and go. It just ain't right that you never met so many people and a love affair. So many years and he's no show. Time to tell him how to pack his things and go. It just ain't right. You're never there. So many people in a love affair. So many years and he's no show. Time to tell him how to pack his things and go.
Twitter.com.
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 @Nick_Time.
Twitter.com.
Twitter.com.
@Nick_Time.
Twitter.com.
Twitter.com.
@Nick_Time.
Twitter.com.
Twitter.com.
Twitter.
Hi, this is Somi Dahlstrom, and you're listening to Nick Tan's Is This On Podcast.
Now, is this thing on?
Okay, is this thing on?
Is this thing on?
Okay.
Hi, my name is Selen. You are listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On Postcard.
Nick San no podcast de Nihon no indie rock band Shinsei Kamate-chan wo nagashiteru no o kiki, anata no podcast no listener ni narimashita. 日本のインディーロックバンドまで幅広く聴いているニックさんのそのセンスと未知の音楽への探求は素晴らしいと思います。そして私はニックさんのサイトでニックさんの曲を聴いてファンになりました。 Moving on Can't stop missing you Down Give yourself away Pale moonlight そして一番好きなのが Time and time again です。私はニックさんにニックさんの名曲 Time and Time Again と新生かまってちゃんのロックンロールは鳴り止まないをリクエストします。ニックさんのポッドキャストを通してニックさんの音楽に出会えたこと、そしてニックさんのこのポッドキャストが日本のバンドを世界に広めてくれたことに感謝します。ニックさんありがとう。